First Peter chapter 1, shared with the first service. You may or may not know that Gina and Mark are in between dwelling places, and you may or also may not know that Mark dabbles a little bit in cold brew coffee. And so, no, you don't drink it cold, you just brew it cold, and you heat it up, and it's really, really good. So I'm going to extend an invitation on their behalf when they get their house built, when they get a table to sit around. If you need the whole story, you can drink some really good coffee, and they'll tell you the whole story. I guarantee you they'd love that opportunity. With that said, I know that in the meantime, they would love for you to pray for their house build and things of that nature. If you've ever done that, you know exactly why we're requesting prayer. 1 Peter chapter 1, will you stand with me for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? The whole service, very honestly, couldn't have been put together better. And the Holy Spirit was the one that had the hand in it. Because I know that I've been talking about serving for quite a while. I know that. I try when the Holy Spirit, in other words, I'm always listening and trying to find that next book that the Holy Spirit wants me to just soak in and hopefully soak together. And 1 Peter seems to be the candidate for that. And so today's going to start the beginning of this look at 1 Peter. We'll see how it goes and as the Spirit leads whether we get into 2 Peter when this is done. But 1 Peter starts this way. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's as far as we got in first service, okay, but we're going to read the full passage here. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though, here it is, now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, it takes faith to believe that, that in God's eyes, your faith is more precious than the most precious element on this planet that perishes. The gold on this planet is going to perish, though it is tested by fire. Your faith may be tested by fire, that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, because there's no person in this building that has seen Jesus Christ with the physical eye. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you the background, if you will, how Adrian Rogers sets this book up. What's going on in these people's lives right now? What is Peter trying to address? I feel like Adrian says it pretty well. When the Apostle Peter was arrested and threatened with death, he told the rulers, and this was in Acts, we ought to obey God rather than men. Peter never allowed the fear of men to cause him to disobey the commands of God, except that one time when he denied Christ three times. After that moment in history, in his life, he never again allowed the threat of man to keep him from doing what God called him to do. He stood strong under fire. In his first letter, Peter speaks to pilgrims, we're going to hit on that, living in a world growing increasingly hostile to Christians. Does it sound like any place you might be aware of? Persecution had been a part of the Christian experience since the primitive days, that means the beginning days of the church in Acts. But the believers Peter addressed faced a rising tide of violence under the emperor Nero. So Peter immediately acknowledges that the readers of 1 Peter are in trouble. And I think anybody that can watch a news channel or read an article, we would agree that to some level, as Christians in America right now, we're in trouble. I think you would agree with me on that. You find the words trial and suffering often in this book. Yet Peter writes to give counsel and tells by reminding them, here it is, of their living hope in the Lord. He tells his readers that they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. They are God's own special people, called out of darkness to proclaim his praises. They are strangers, beloved, sojourners, and pilgrims. Those are all phrases and names that are in 1 Peter about Christians. Their treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Peter assures his readers there is nothing surprising about their suffering, and they can rejoice in suffering for Christ. Trials come that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here it is. They can endure their sufferings for a season. Now, listen carefully. Certain that if God doesn't cause their suffering, He controls it. You see, sometimes, church, God is the cause of your suffering. And it's not because you're in trouble. It's not because you've sinned. It's not punishment. It's because He's trying to grow you. It's because, if you will, He's putting weight on your bar at the gym. He's trying your faith. And we need to know that. You need to know when God is testing you, because that's a complete different response than when God is correcting you. But watch this. Sometimes God is not the author of your suffering. Sometimes it's the devil's attack upon your life. Sometimes it's the world's pressure to conform you and I to them. Sometimes it's your own stinking, rotten flesh. And you are dealing with the consequential circumstances of making poor choices. But watch this. Read it again. I got to find it first. Certain that if God doesn't cause their suffering, He controls it. Even in those times where the devil's attacking you, God is still in control. Even those times where the world is pressuring you at work, God is in control. Even in those times where you've blown it and you are absolutely deserving of what you're going through, God is in control and He loves you. That's good stuff. And they are in a trial. He knows what they need. Peter is saying God knows what they need and how long they need it. And they are in a trial for God's time and purpose. So today, just for a few moments, we're simply going to look at this sermon with this thought, if you will, an idea. The title simply is A Proper Understanding, ... brings hope. And the ... is where we put the points. A proper understanding of who you are brings hope. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. We need to know who we are. Church, we are not citizens, and I'm talking to the saved. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not a citizen of this world from God's perspective. From God's perspective, you are a citizen of heaven right now. Right now. You're a pilgrim. You're just a passing through. Your treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And please hear me, Christian. If you have not adopted that, you're struggling. If you have put down roots in this planet, and this is where you are seeking your satisfaction and your security, you're hurting. And you're going to continue to. Or you're on a pathway to hurt. Because for the Christian, this world holds nothing for us. For the Christian, this is not where we get our satisfaction. This is not where we get our joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh no, I watched CNN. Yeah. Or I watched Fox, whatever the case may be. No, joy unspeakable and full of glory comes from you knowing exactly who you are. I'm a child of the King. My cottage or mansion, whatever your faith is up there. And I am building and I am sending my treasure to the place where rust and moth, I tried to call it a Roth. That might help you too, Roth IRA, I don't know. But where rust and moth cannot destroy is where you and I are to build up our treasure. So, a proper understanding of who we are brings hope. But now, not only were they pilgrims, they were pilgrims of the dispersion. And these were people that got attacked for their Christian faith. And they ran. They ran. And they ran with permission. Sometimes God asks you to take a stand. Stephen. And he got his reward that day. He took a stand and he died. The rest of everybody, God said, run. And they ran with their stuff and their family most of all. And when they got to their new place, Pontius, Bithynia, wherever, Cappadocia, they set up shop, watch this, and they carried the gospel with them. Now, I want to share something with you that really, and folks, listen, we are a conservative church, but conservatism is not the gospel. Conservatism is not the commission. Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ, is the gospel, and the commission is sharing the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Amen. But it is quite, what would the word be? Ironic and confusing to see what is happening in our United States, and this isn't meant to be any kind of a, what would the word be? In other words, I'm not cutting anybody down. I'm telling you something that's actually going on. The most liberal states of our union, their policies are destroying their economy. Their policies are destroying their tax base. And as a result, guess what's happening? People are fleeing by the thousands, in New York, in California, in Chicago, and the such. But this is what's ironic, because a lot of them are going to Texas. Arguably, the most conservative state in the union. But guess what? These people that are fleeing these liberal bastions, guess what they're doing? They're taking their politics with them. And they're enacting the same policies in Texas that they enacted in California. And so that's why now all of a sudden Austin is starting to have trouble. Houston is starting to have trouble. Because they brought the same failed policies with them. Watch this. They're more committed to their failed policies than we are to what we know works. If a man, woman, boy, or girl will place faith in Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior, he will save them from their sins. He will set them free from their sins, and he will take them to heaven when they die. And so the first Christians did that. They took the gospel wherever they went. We've got to be faithful to do that too. These young people that are sitting right here, you may or may not be here 10, 20 years from now, but wherever you go, you need to take the gospel with you. Wherever you go. If some of you are working in a job that they're liable to move you, wherever your job moves you, you need to take the gospel with you. So on and so forth. We need, let me just say it this way, a proper understanding of who we are. We're pilgrims in this world, and we are dispersed to share the gospel brings hope. Point number two, if you and I understand whose we are. Look at verse 2 again. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, this automatically causes issues in certain circles. I'm going to try to belay all of that. And my point today is not to shoot at anybody. But I can just tell you that word elect brings up and conjures up different opinions within the Christian community. And I'm going to share with you where I'm at, and wherever you're at, that's fine. Watch this. This isn't a test of fellowship for me, but it can be a sidetrack if you're not careful. It can absolutely derail what God is trying to do in your life if you try to pick up one of these extremes. So you've got this group over here that they have this particular opinion of how salvation happens. And then you've got this group over here that has an opinion of how salvation happens. This side, they're called Calvinist, if you will. This side is called Arminianist. Both of those names are men. Arminianist was a man. He lived. Calvin, John Calvin, was a man. He lived. Church, I'm not trying to be anything but real. I'm not going to be called after a man. Okay? Now watch this. There's some really good points over here. There's some really good points over here. But if you take either one of them to the extreme, you're in trouble. I'm a Jesusist. That's all I am. I'm a Jesusist. I'm a Biblicist. You're not going to name me a Calvinist, and you're sure not going to name me an Arminianist. Watch this. There's two sides to salvation. I had a man donate a quarter to me from first service because I was so poor in first service, I didn't have to have a quarter to my name. Of course, you know why that is with these, you know, debit cards and ATMs. We don't carry cash no more. You know, we're the cashless society. The folks that are my age or older, that drives them nuts. That's why they carry $100 bills with them. It made their tribe increase. Now watch this. On this side, I got a laugh from Keith Ragsdale. I love it. On this side is an eagle of some sort, okay? I'm sure that represents the United States of America. America. On this side is George Washington. Watch this, church. We got two quarters, don't we? Nope. We've got one quarter. Two sides. These folks have concentrated on one side. These folks have concentrated on the other side. I'm just robbing from both. When you, Dr. Allen, I quoted this morning, Brother Bradley. Brother Bradley has spent a lot of time praying through, working through on this subject. And Dr. Allen helped him with probably the greatest, if you will, definition of salvation. When you and I get saved, meaning when you and I die as saved individuals, and we show up in heaven, right there on the pearly gates, it's going to say, whosoever will may come. You see, this word elect, it just simply means that God wants you to accept him as your Savior. He's chosen you. I choose to believe, and a lot of people don't agree with it. That's okay. It's not a test of fellowship for me. I choose to believe that God has chosen every person that has ever breathed a breath. He's chosen them for salvation. Whosoever will may come. But when you walk through those gates and you turn around and there on God's side, if you will, of the same coin, it will say, I chose you before the foundations of the world. It's two different sides of the same coin. Church, do not get sidetracked with, I just think, I'm not sure. I'm absolutely sure that God had to choose you for you to be saved. I'm sure of that. But I'm also sure that you had to receive by faith. Watch this. And the faith is a gift too. You had to receive by faith the finished work of Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, you know what is the greatest truth? If there's someone here, let's just say a 10-year-old, none of this stuff matters to him. All that matters to him is that he's a sinner, he's deserving of hell, and if he doesn't accept Jesus Christ, he's going to pay for his sin forever. And I loved one of my friends enough to ask him, do I have to understand either one of these sides to know Jesus Christ as my Savior? You know what the answer was? No. All you got to know Jesus Christ is that you're a sinner, you deserve eternal punishment, and if you don't accept him, you're going to pay for your sins for the rest of your life. That's what you got to know. And you got to know that Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sins, so that if you will accept him, he'll save you forever. And that's what we're about. We're not going to get sidetracked. We're going to preach the gospel. And watch this. You can be on this side and be here. We'll love you. Okay? You can be over here and we'll love you. It's not a test of fellowship, but we want to make sure and not get sidetracked. If all of a sudden it's all we talk about in Sunday school, if all of a sudden it's all certain teachers talk about, we're sidetracked. And we need to, there's only one thing we can afford a sidetrack on, and that's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. So you and I, we must have a proper understanding of whose we are, and that will bring hope. You belong to Jesus Christ because God chose you and you accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You belong to God. Not only will that bring hope, but a proper understanding of why he left you here in the finishing verse 2, sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, once you get saved, watch this, you're not done. You're just starting. It is time to get to work. Sanctification. My son and I, we had a little bit of time together in the truck yesterday, and so we got in this discussion about sanctification. It's my humble opinion, and watch this, church, if what I'm fixing to say is true, it's my fault, so I'm not trying to put anybody in here down. But it's my understanding that too many people don't know what the word sanctification means. Oh, my goodness. It just happens to be what we're all about. So if you don't know what sanctification means, listen to me, and I apologize, okay? Because I haven't done a very good job if you don't know what sanctification means. Sanctification means that when you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. And from that point forward, your life is about giving the rest of you to the Holy Spirit. You see, now don't raise your hands because you might be embarrassed. Hopefully not everybody in here still says the same words that they used to say before they got saved. That's called sanctification. Hopefully a lot of folks in here, you don't go to the same places that you used to go before you got saved. That's called sanctification. Lots of you folks, your priorities have changed. That's called sanctification. You see, the Holy Spirit drew you to the cross. Now he's drawing you to holiness. He wants you to think right. He wants you to talk right. He wants you to act right. And that's sanctification. A proper understanding of why you're here will bring hope. You see, as you and I get sidetracked with all of these attacks, if we'll keep our focus, hey, stay in your yard. Church, I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit beats me up with that sermon more than just about any other sermon. Every time I try to get in you folks' yard so I can straighten you out because you just drive me nuts. Thanks for laughing. That was meant to be a joke. The Holy Spirit says, stay in your own yard, Ben. Bro, have you looked at your yard? Dude, you got plenty to do, man. I'm working with them. You preach the truth and leave all the rest to me, bro. All right. And my wife is always thinking, Lord, please keep him in his own yard. Yeah, because we got enough to do in our own yard. Can I get a witness? Sanctification. Growing closer to Christ. We're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I don't say a lot of words that I used to. I'm also telling you, the older I get, I'm more tempted to say certain words. Yeah, and so it's just a constant deal. The Holy Spirit's constantly sanctifying me. All right. So I think we're actually 1, 2, 3. We're to the fourth point. A proper understanding of what's being given to you and available to you will bring hope. Look at the last part of verse 2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. And that belongs again to the point of what's been given to you and available to you. Church, we got to count our blessings, not our bruises. Grace and peace, if you will allow it, is constantly being provided for you. How many of you have gotten in your car just an indiscriminate time and you had it on 99.1 and the exact song that you needed to hear was there? Anybody? Anybody, grace and peace. How many of you have maybe got it on 91.5? And the exact sermon that you needed to hear was on that when you got in the car. I've done it. I guarantee you. Grace and peace has been supplied to you. How many of you have gotten just an indiscriminate text from a brother or sister in Christ? Say, hey, the Lord's laid you on my heart, and I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. I hope everything's okay. Anybody? Yeah. Grace and peace has been given to you. Folks, when you and I understand, we have a proper understand what's being given to us and is available to us, it'll bring hope. God's got all the grace and peace that you need for you today. He's got it all, and he's giving it to you. You remember that one passage that says it's been measured, it's been pressed down, it's been shaken? Yeah. You ever done that with a bucket? You do that, and all that stuff goes down, and he just keeps putting it in, keeps putting it in, and then he finds you, and he does this. Yeah. Now, if y'all knew anything about farming, you would know what chickens and pigs do when the farmer does that. They just come a-running. They come a-running. Why? Because grace and peace has been given. He's got all that you need. Okay, let's go further. I think point number five now. Verse 3, what's in store for you? If we had a proper understanding of what's in store for us, we would have hope. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has been begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it is. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now we've already hit on this, but let's just say it again. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Church, if you and I will remind ourselves every day, this is not my permanent dwelling. I'm heading to a place that words cannot describe. I'm heading to a place that no fantasiacal ideology can describe. It's going to be greater and better than we can ever take in, and it's waiting on us, all because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He loves you. He put it all out there. He died for you. And now he wants to give you what he's got. He wants to share his inheritance with you. If we had a proper understanding of what waits for us, it would provide hope. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I can't tell it enough. I can't say it enough. I'm so glad that God has not entrusted the security of my salvation to me. I'm so glad he's entrusted the security of my salvation to himself. He provided it without me asking for it. He offered it to me without deserving it. And when he gave it to me, he said, "Don't you worry, Ben. I'll take care of it for you." Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. He loved me so much that he didn't let me take control of it. Now, what's going on right now? Point number 6, I think. Because unfortunately, I didn't number these in my iPad. So if I'm off, please forgive me. Watch this, and I guarantee you I'm off on some level somewhere. Thank you for laughing. That was a joke. Here we go. A proper understanding of what's going on right now will bring hope. Look at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, this could be what Gina went through. It could be a health scare. It could be a job situation. It could be a family situation. But watch this. It could also be what's going on in our political arena right now. I don't know if you're aware of the Equality Act, but if that passes, it's going to be some rough times coming, because the Equality Act, and you need to study it, you need to look into it. I'm not going to go into it here right now, maybe at another time, another message, if you will, but it's going to cause persecution for Christians if it is passed. It will. With that said, watch this. The very people that passed that legislation, the very people that legislation is meant to uplift and encourage, watch this, they are the very people we are trying to win to Christ. And yours and my response, Christian loving response to the persecution that we're going to receive, just may win them to Christ. You see, they're not our enemies. They're the people we're trying to win. And you and I need to get ready. We need to be so full of hope that when that hits, we're like, okay, Lord, we've been getting ready for this. It's time to get in the game type thing. And we take our stand, our loving stand, and we do what Christ has called us to do, and we watch him work it out for his glory. We've got more coming. I'll finish this passage tonight. Let's all stand. Musicians, if you'll come. A proper understanding of who you are brings hope. A proper understanding of whose you are brings hope. A proper understanding of why you are left here brings hope. Proper understanding of what's being given to you and available to you brings hope. Proper understanding of what's in store for you brings hope. Proper understanding of what's going on right now brings hope. You know, a crowd this size, there's somebody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, most likely. This is going to be an invitation. We're inviting you to come. If you come and you want to receive Christ as your Savior, then we will send you as someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Will you come? Let's sing.